Welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster, and today we are here with two members of the Web Matrix team, Vishal Joshi, which you probably saw on Monday if you watched the first episode of the Week of Web Matrix series. And from his team, we have Justin Beckwith. And today we're going to go deeper into the conversation about Node that Vishal introduced earlier in the week. We're going to talk a little bit about Node.js today. Now, Nathan Totten on my team is kind of the Node.js guru, and I don't know a lot about Node, so I'll probably be asking some dumb questions today, but I think there are a lot of Node people out there that are really excited about these new features, and we're going to go into pretty great detail today and look at them. So with that, I'll kind of turn it over to Justin. Let him get crazy.
Sure. So the way that we expect people to come in and create sites, we've got a list of pre-built templates that are right inside of Web Matrix. So to get started, you just click on that button. And you're going to see here, before we mostly focused on ASP.NET sites and a couple of different PHP sites. But now we have this section over here just for Node. So three different types of templates that we're going to ship inside of the box. We have an empty site, which is kind of like your basic HTTP request server, you know, the sample that's right on Node.js.org. We have a starter site, which is kind of this full built-out example of building a fully functional Node site. So it includes things like authentication, routing, less, you know, kind of all the touch points of building a full web app for Node. And then we have an express site, which is basically just a scaffolded express site that has, you know, very minimal, but shows an example of doing kind of an MVC style application without much of the full built-out parts.
This is essentially the same site that we basically got from the community and what everyone uses as the Express site. So
yeah,
it's like pretty much the same.
The Express site is exactly what happened if you went to the command line and installed the Express module globally and then just splatted out scaffolding into a directory. So it's exactly the same.
So we do the starter site.
Yep. So we're gonna build out a fully functional site today, and we're gonna call this the Webcamp demo.
You're gonna like it.
I bet.
So kind of one of the cool things that we're doing is at this point, I happen to have Node on my machine, but if I didn't, we're actually going to go out, we're going to install Node, we're going to download it, put it on your machine. You're going to get NPM now with that install, so the package management module for Node is just going to come right with the template. We're going to include any dependencies that you need to run this thing on Windows. You don't have to go anywhere and download any bits. It's all right there. So as soon as you create the site from the template and click Run,
And every time we show this to many people, they are still amazed that, means this happened pretty fast. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have Node, it would probably take a few more seconds or minutes,
right.
But like you would still land up in this situation.
Nice.
And like give end-to-end Node working.
Yep. So this brought in Express and a couple other different libraries or modules, I guess you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's Node, NPM, IIS Node, which makes it run on IIS Express because that's what we are using.
Awesome.
And plus all the modules.
Right, so this template uses a certain subset of modules that we're taking advantage of, and that's just included right in the box as well.
Excellent.
So let's just kind of take a peek around the template we've included. As I mentioned, this is kind of a complete thing. So if you want to use logins, we actually support OAuth logins. If you want to use things like Facebook, Twitter, Windows Live, there are instructions inside of the template of how to go set that up. There's an example of doing chat with Socket.io. So if you want to set up a chat site, we make that pretty easy to do. And then we have kind of like your basic about page. So the idea here is that we're trying to identify a lot of patterns that are common in writing Node.js web applications, and then just kind of give you an example, you know, a best practices way of doing that from inside of our tools.
Excellent. So you're just kind of taking all the best of the Node world, putting it right into Web Matrix.
Yep.
Cool. Well,
we should look at the template.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Like what it does.
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, instead of just going in and poking around in the template, I mean, I like to go in and you know, let's build something.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the Node community, so it's, you know, hacker mentality. Let's go add something into this.
Awesome.
What would you guys like to build?
Let's do the GitHub Windows Azure thing and add it to this about page, maybe.
Sure.
Cool.
So just to add to that, one of the things that we've been doing on the Azure SDK team is we've actually gone out and built a whole set of NPM modules for using Windows Azure. So if you're building an application and you want to host that on Azure, we have a whole set of tools that make it easy from within Node to do things like blob storage, you know, service bus is one they just released. Kind of all of that cool stuff is available to you from Node as well as .NET.
Fantastic.
So let's check it out. First thing that you're going to see when you create this app is we start off with the dashboard and kind of try to give you some links. If you're a first-time user, if you haven't done a lot of Node programming, we're hoping that this kind of gives you a path to go out and learn. Links to Node.js.org, explaining how NPM works, how the whole stack works together, how Express, which is kind of the Sinatra-type architecture on top of this thing, works. So we're trying to give you a nice place to get started. But when you're actually ready to code, and this is where most people are going to spend the majority of their time, you go into what we call the Files workspace. And this is kind of our essential editing experience. Just like any other Node application, by default we start off with server.js. Mm-hmm. But for this app, we want to go and we want to modify that about page. So to do that, we've actually broken all of our like main kind of controller type files out into a separate directory. And that's where we have routes right here.
And Brady, like, you know, ASP.NET folks who are probably looking at this particular options, this is our controllers, right?
Excellent.
That's what this is.
Nice. Yeah, conceptually, if you're coming from a different stack, you're going to find, you know, I come from a .NET background and then a Rails background. You start to see the same patterns emerge over and over again, so it's pretty easy to get started, especially if you're using Express. It really kind of bridges that gap nicely.
Nice.
So in Home.js here, essentially all this is doing is it's defining a route for each of the links that we saw on the main page. Mm-hmm. We have the home page, the chat example, we have the about page, and what we really want to do with this about page is instead of just going out and rendering that view, first, we want to make a request to the GitHub API and get a list of all the repositories that we've went ahead and put out there. So to get started, the place that most people would start with this is they're going to use the build. There's a built-in module called HTTP. So this is the functional equivalent of, you know, importing something inside of a .NET app.
Awesome.
And I can just say, you know, require. And this is kind of the first place where you start to see IntelliSense pop up. You want to know how to import a module. We have IntelliSense for require. And then now this is actually pretty cool. We're going out and we're listing all of the modules that are available to you for your application. So right now this includes everything that's inside of core, and we're going to bring in HTTP.
Wow. Now that you brought that in, looks like you've got a variable called HTTP.
Yes.
Am I going to have IntelliSense just based off that guy now? So if you were to type HTTP and...
Absolutely. So any variable that's in there, you're going to have IntelliSense. You click dot. And in this case, if we wanted to make the request, we're just going to use the request function. We're going to explain what that function does. This documentation is pulled from Node.js.org. We're going to give you parameter IntelliSense, tooltips, kind of the whole bit. For those of you who are used to using Visual Studio C#, we think it's pretty close to that experience.
It's a big deal.
I mean, honestly, this is worth pausing because we spent a lot of time trying to make Node get a native feel and full throttle experience of code completion. Like third-party modules and getting code completion for that, like we actually worked with the Node community to find out how what would be the best format, working with Giant to figure out whether we can have standard ways of documenting modules so that we can pick up from there. So all of those things adds up to give you a seamless experience. And like, you know, what if you were to use any other module?
Right.
Sure. So that's a great point. This HTTP module we're using, I mean, it's very handy and it does a lot of things well, but it's not the easiest way to go out and do this kind of simple, you know, REST API JSON request type thing. There's actually a third party module, as you're going to find most of Node is driven by third party modules, that makes this a lot easier. So one of the things we've built in is kind of a visual explorer of the NPM gallery. For those of you in the .NET world, this is our functional equivalent of NuGet, kind of the same exact concepts. So the module I'm going to look for is called Request. It's made by one of the more influential guys out there in the community. And really, it just makes this whole process just a lot simpler, and you're going to get a chance to see this. So we're just going to give you a screen, tell you who wrote the thing, what version you're getting, and then list all of the dependencies for that package, and then go ahead and install it.
Okay, so that actually installed the module right now. Like what is worth noting is that when we were looking at, when we built the NuGet integration for ASP.NET,
right,
and when NPM Gallery came about, it was so logical. Every community does it similarly. And this, by the way, we were talking about extensibility yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This is created via extension to WebMatrix. So it was not like, we're starting to build features inside WebMatrix via extensions just so that, like, you know, we can exercise the extensibility, and this is another example. Now you basically have new request module. Otherwise, you would probably go search on the web for which is the right module and then, like, pick it up and then install using NPM console, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, otherwise you'd be doing this all from the command line, which if you want to do things from the command line and you still want to use that, everything inside of WebMatrix is still going to work, you know, exactly the same. All we're really doing is automating NPM, so it's not like by using this tool that you're going to lose the ability to do things the way you had been doing them before, that they interfere with each other. It all works together pretty nicely.
So I could do a little bit of WebMatrix, and then if I want to have low-level control or whatever, I could switch over to the command line and actually go back and forth?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. You could just, right now, if we wanted to, we could open up a command window, say Node Server.js from the command line, or use Upstart or any of those other apps, and it's going to work exactly the same.
Excellent.
We do make it out of the box so that it runs on IIS Express, though.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
So we imported that request module into our app. Now let's go ahead and require it, and the process is going to be exactly the same. You see here, now when we type require, request is actually going to show up in this list. Before we installed it, it wouldn't have been there. We're walking the whole dependency tree, taking a look through your app and finding everything that you have installed and giving you IntelliSense for it in this list.
Automagically.
Automagic, absolutely. Great. So now when we come down here, just like we saw with HTTP, when I start to type request, we're going to get IntelliSense is going to tell us what the parameters it's expecting are and how we use this thing. So instead of making you wait for me to type out that whole URL, I'm actually going to use this snippets tool.
Which is also an extension, by the way.
Yep. Fantastic.
Yeah, and this is just to kind of make things go a little bit faster. Great. So now we've adjusted our controller. We're now passing, we're making a request out to Windows Azure. When we get the response back, we're going to take the JSON output of that response and pass it into our view when we try to render out our view. So let's go ahead and take a look at our views.
Justin, where does JSON.parse come from?
JSON.parse is just it's a built-in object inside of inside a node.
Okay.
So this is our view. Does this code look familiar?
Not exactly. It looks like a different view engine that I haven't seen before.
Right. So what this is called, this is, if you haven't seen this before, it's Jade. This is essentially HTML without angle brackets,
right,
and without closing tags. And it's actually without a lot of things. It makes it very, very fast and compact to type. It seems to be the default of where people are gravitating inside of Node for a template for the view engine.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of grabbed hold, and we have full syntax highlighting support for it.
Looks kind of like Python ML.
But see, also note that, you know, we not only do the code colorization, but at the same time, we are also doing code folding, and whatnot. Means like, you know, highlighting the common tags and
yep,
and commenting and stuff like that. So we've taken whatever Node is going to take to its heart, we're going to take it to the heart of WebMatrix, and we're going to give support to that.
Means
philosophically, that's what we want. We want to be the best Node tool out there, period. Like, that's what we really want
awesome
to do.
Awesome. Well, it's good so far.
Yeah?
I mean, this is like an alternative markup language that I don't really know that you're colorizing for me, making it easier for me. That's pretty good. So it's almost like your IntelliSense extends into each individual view engine as well that exists for Node.
Sure. I mean, it depends on the engine. I mean, right now we're supporting Jade and EJS out of the box.
Okay.
And and quite honestly, I mean, for those of you that have done a lot of this, there's a new view engine pretty much once a week.
Oh, really?
that pops up. I mean, this stuff evolves fastly. You know, it happens very quick.
Yeah.
So we kind of picked the top two that seem the most popular inside of the community, and right now that's what we're going to have support for. But we're looking to add, you know, another 10, 100, however many people want in the future.
If I write a view engine for Node, can I write an extension for WebMatrix to colorize it?
To an extent, yes, but not completely. I mean, the thing is that some of the editor deep extensibility hooks like are not all exposed.
Okay.
Means we actually did take a route of like trying to find out, do we like expose the entire object model of WebMatrix out, or do we actually like make a conscious effort to make simple interfaces which
right
people can build against? We went down the simple interfaces route to begin with. So whatever is exposed via those interfaces is what you can do.
Okay.
Some of these editor pieces you might not be able to completely control, but if there is huge demand, we certainly can consider. We're trying to release it really, really fast. So if someone comes up and says, hey, we need it, we can totally try to do that.
Excellent. Okay.
Right.
Sorry for off topic.
No, that's a great question. So let's go through and let's actually adjust this view so that we can take advantage of the list of repositories that we're passing into it. So we're going to use an HTML5 section element. You can see we're still getting things like parentheses auto-completion, type through, kind of all of those same bits. And we're going to use this main content class. Now inside of this section, we're just going to take and list all the repositories out inside of a UL. And let's call that repos. And then we're just going to start doing basic Jade things. This is where we start taking advantage of, you know, how fluid the syntax is. I can just say, you know, iterate over each repo in the repos that we passed in, and then, you know, render out an element that uses the name. But instead of typing all of this out, you know, I have kind of a pre-baked sample that just is going to make this a little bit easier. So you can see, same deal, iterate over the list of repositories, render out an aref tag that includes the title and a brief description.
Let's run it.
Cool. Yeah, we have the view, the model, the controller. Let's see what happens when we run the thing. All right, we're going to click on about, and...
What's that all about?
That is an internal server error.
It's an internal server error. Man, that would be great if you could debug that.
If only. So there's the big takeaway. The other thing that we're doing is kind of interesting inside of this template that you're not going to get out of the box with Express is this is actually an example of handling a custom page handling a 500. So we have some things that show you how to handle 500 errors, 404s, templates, and how to deal with that stuff because mm-hmm. it's kind of one of those classic, in the real world, this is something that we fight with all the time, but
right.
it's not always readily evident how to do that inside right. of the engine.
So mm-hmm. can you show us the code which actually like does the 500 redirection?
Sure. I have to think about it a little bit.
There we go.
Yeah, there we have. So really, this is just a piece of middleware. This is kind of the connect way of doing things, right? Is we're going to tie in, we're going to create some routes for the 500 error. So this is defining, you know, where these error pages exist. And then the actual code that hooks this all up is inside of server.js. So let's take just a quick peek at that. And there's a section specifically in here for error management. There we go. So this basically says if you're and it lets you, what's neat about Express is it gives you the capability to say at dev time configure it to do this, show the errors at production time, you know, don't show a full call stack.
Right.
You know, that's probably a bad idea and you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
The point though, the reason why we actually wanted to show that thing is that you're gonna get this template as soon as you install WebMatrix 2. Install this template and just run it, you're going to get all of these things. And you can see how the error handling is mapped up. You can do for multiple different error messages and so on and so forth. But back to fixing our bug.
Yeah,
sure.
We have to fix the bug.
Yes, we should definitely take a look at that. So obviously something went wrong in this code. A good place to start, you may notice inside of here, we're getting this error message. It's being passed in after we do the HTTP request. But we're not really doing anything to handle it.
Right.
So what we probably should be doing here is saying that, you know, if that error exists and there's something in the string, let's go ahead and write that out to the console. So again, full IntelliSense for things like console.log.
Which I presume is either a core NPM module or another.
It's built right into the box.
Fantastic.
So now what we're going to do is you actually see down here there's this output tab. This is showing all of the output that we have. Anything that would be normally piped to the console that we'd use if you ran this from the command line, you can actually just have a little window into that right here.
What if the simple console isn't enough? What if you want to figure out exactly where the code is breaking and actually step through it? Is there a capability of that?
Sure. So actually another extension that we have inside of WebMatrix is integration with a tool called Node Inspector. And this thing is actually pretty cool. It lets you launch the application inside of Chrome and take advantage of Chrome's built-in JavaScript debugging tools to hook up to your Node app. So let's check that out.
Sounds exciting.
Yes. So when this loads, we're going to go ahead over here. You can see it actually found the spot where we were. And we're just going to go ahead and set a breakpoint at this request call so that we can stop there once we execute the page again. So now we're going to refresh. You can tell it doesn't come back right away. And when we come over here, you can see we're actually using the integrated tools and we're stopped at the breakpoint.
Oh, I see what's wrong.
Well, the HTTP.
Right. You forgot a T.
Well, look at that. This is why we use debuggers. This is why tools are good, right?
Good stuff.
Okay, so let's go ahead and let this finish out. And then let's add our T and see if we have any better luck now. And there we go.
Excellent. And those are all the GitHub repos.
Yeah, so we have the SDK for .NET, SDK for Java. All of the Node stuff, obviously, is up there. So anything that we have, this all breaks out into our GitHub repositories.
That IIS Node is what we are using
yes.
Behind the scenes as well.
Awesome. Fantastic. Excellent.
Well, we can go and perhaps beautify this stuff a little bit by showing some of our new capabilities in the editor from CSS and all those nice stuff.
Sure. So this doesn't look good enough for you? It's leaving a little bit, leading a little bit to be desired.
It's developer art.
Yes. Other than that. All right. So let's go style this thing. One of the things that we've built in that we're really, really happy to talk about is actually a new Less CSS editor that's built into the product.
Awesome.
And Less is some pretty cool stuff. So let's check it out. I'm going to go into the public directory and create a new style sheet.
And by the way, the public directory is the directory from which everything would directly be served outside
okay.
the node.
So. Okay.
And we're just going to go ahead and call this about.less. So far what you see should be a little bit less jarring than what we saw with Jade. Mm-hmm. There is another styling engine called Stylus that some people are using, but for this one we kind of focused on the Less editor because we think it enables some cooler stuff.
Less is pretty popular too.
Oh yeah, a lot of people are using this in .NET and Node.
Even WindowsAzure.com, I think, we're using Less to create stuff. So. And you will see why it is so awesome to use Less and WebMatrix together.
Right. So we had a UL that was called repos. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to go ahead and directly style that. And let's just set the color of the text inside of there. I actually want to use that node green that the header used. Mm-hmm. At this point, there are a couple ways we could do that. We could go sift around in the CSS we used in the other file and try to link that up. Or we could do something that's really cool, and we could use our color picker. So now I'm just going to come down here. This is the page that we'd previously loaded. And when I click down, I can get a color picker and just come in. I want that color green. And I'm set.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, no messing around with copying, print screen, putting it in paint, trying to use the eyedropper, converting RGB to hex.
Or downloading a dropper.
Or any of those things. Yeah. Just works. So then the next thing that we kind of want to do is I want to put a border around all of the individual LIs in that list, so to kind of break it out instead of using, the basic list type thing. So let's create a subclass for that in CSS, and we're going to give it a border style, and let's make that solid, and we want to add a width. I'll go with we'll use thin. And for the color, let's say we want to use, now this is where it kind of gets interesting, let's say that we want to use the same color. Typically, again, this is one of those points we could copy this hex code, put it down there, and then if I change it, I need to change it multiple places. Mm-hmm. This is where we start to take advantage of Less. So Less lets me do things like defining variables. So we can just come to the top and say the title color for this thing is going to be that hex code. And now everywhere else in my doc where I want to use that color, if I hit A, we're actually going to give you IntelliSense for all of the variables that are available inside of your Less file and tell you what that value is currently set to. So now instead of having that hex code twice, I can just declare it once and use it twice.
Excellent.
So the next thing we want to do, let's round the corners a little bit on that LI, make it kind of start to look, make it look nice, fit, and finished. This is where, typically you're going to use your vendor prefixes, and we're going to say, we want the border radius for WebKit to be, let's say, 3 pixels. Then we do the same thing for Moz.
All CSS 3
right
in there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Standard supported.
And actually, I would be curious to see if you notice something which is really interesting happening while Justin is saving. So let's see if you notice it.
I didn't notice.
So notice at the bottom you see the compiled.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
And that is pretty interesting in itself because we have a Less compiler. And all the time while he was creating that about.less, you will also see there is about.css in the tree. And it's compiling that on the fly for you.
And creating the CSS file.
Creating the CSS file. And you basically see that it's automatically generated code.
That's wonderful. Right? That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I mean, you can still use server-side rendering or a compilation if you're used to doing it that way. If you're using one of the tools like Node Print, usually we'll do this automatically.
Right.
But if you want to generate it at design time and then be able to look at exactly what CSS you're getting, this is kind of a cool thing. Also, it's an extension.
That's
exciting. So yeah. Of course. Right.
But this extension, by the way, to give full credit, this is Justin's extension, and he actually created a very nice image. Also, it's called Orange Bit. You want to show how the Orange Bit compiler looks like, so that if you wanted that in your web matrix, you'd want to try to go to that gallery icon, which is the arrow icon, and then from there, you'll be able to see a bunch of different extensions come up. Like we talked about the iPhone simulator and whatnot yesterday. Node Power Tools, which gives you the debugger, is over there. And then the Orange Bits compiler, which actually does the compilation of not just LESS, but notice it also does SAS, and like it does SCSS and CoffeeScript.
Wonderful. That's awesome.
So, I mean, but back to the LESS that we're writing.
Right.
I mean, one of the things, if you've done a lot with border radius or any of these vendor prefix type classes, it gets annoying really, really fast typing this stuff over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do it a lot, and it's going to bloat your code. So kind of one of the other cool things that the LESS provides, actually, is this idea of a mixin, which is essentially defining a function. So we can create one global function for this thing and say, tag a border radius. By default, use a radius of 5 pixels if nothing gets passed in. And then, you know, do all that stuff that we were otherwise going to do. So this way, we can reuse this thing throughout the rest of the app. So now down here, instead of having all those prefixes over and over again, I say dot, we're going to get a list of all the available mixins. We're going to tell you what parameters they're expecting, you know, the full IntelliSense treatment.
And now you have to pass that thing up there.
Right.
That's rad.
Yeah, that's a good point. So one of the things you might have noticed is that there's this red squiggle underneath here, and it's going to tell you, hey, you defined this variable, but you're actually not using it. And so we're trying to kind of help you, save you from making some of those errors. Again, when we define it up here, then we should be all set, and that's going to go away.
That's awesome.
Another just little nice thing you can do is you can see our formatting got kind of messed up when we copied and pasted. Let's say that, you know, we had things, or, you know, we could even make it worse. We actually have a built-in formatting of LESS, so we'll pull everything back together, beautify it, make it all look nice.
Nice, nice. Is there a shortcut key for that? Or
there is actually the same shortcut key for Visual Studio, Control KD.
Nice, awesome. Logical.
Yes. So for this, just to make sure that I didn't, you know, in the heat of the moment, screw up any of the actual code, I'm just going to put I have the full sample built out here, and you can come back and look at this later, that does essentially all the same things. And then last, this is the step I always forget after I make one of these style sheets. Let's actually link it to the view so that it gets used, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we added the style sheet, we added the reference to it. Let's see if this is starting to look any better. So this looks good.
Okay. Yeah, this looks awesome. You know, how about we show how this one looks like in a mobile device?
Mm-hmm.
Since we talked about yesterday about the iPhone emulator and integrations around that. So
sure, that's something we may actually make pretty easy to do. So you can just go in, click run, launch it in the iPhone emulator. And we've actually gone to a lot of trouble inside of this template. We've built it out so we're going to do things like auto-detect if you're coming from a mobile device. We're going to show you a special kind of jQuery mobile-based layout page that you can then go out and tweak, all still built in Jade. So a lot of that stuff is just kind of baked right into the template.
Awesome.
Cool. And how does our about page look like? That's pretty cool.
There we go. We go. Responsive layouts.
Yes, it's all. And there is, you might want to probably show the layout dot. It's not dot, but underscore, since it doesn't take.
Sure. So what we actually do is we break this out inside of the views directory, and we give you the default layout that lets you define what it's going to look like if someone comes with a desktop browser. But then we also give you an underscore mobile layout that, as I mentioned, includes things like jQuery mobile and has the special nav menu and the data dash attributes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you saw the data dash attributes yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday. That was good. That was good. I love the IntelliSense for jQuery Mobile. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's
We're excited stuff. About it.
Yeah. Good. Looks like you hit the stop button by accident.
I already started.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just run it again.
And then...
Okay.
Cool. Awesome.
One other thing is that you have the chat capability built in. Do you want to go ahead and show how the chat would actually work, like with in between, say, mobile browser and that?
Sure. So, I mean, it's all web browsers. I mean, in this case, it's even all WebKit, so it's pretty easy to show. I mean, a desktop user would just go to the chat page, and then we could show up at the same page with our mobile device. So we click on chat, and now, you know, we should be able to talk to each other.
There, that's
wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're trying to make it really, really easy to kind of enable some of these common node scenarios.
Nice. So this is socket IO going
yes.
back and forth. Awesome.
Yes.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. So we've gone through all the different extensions, talked about node. There's one thing that we're missing that I'm looking forward to, and that's the ease of deploying to a brand new Windows Azure website.
Sure. So, so why don't we go through the whole process? Let's actually go and create the site on Windows Azure.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds great.
And what is interesting is that I think anyone who is seeing this can actually go ahead and sign up for a free account and can create a new website similar to how we are showing over here. And what we are going to do is to actually go and go to websites over here on the top and then just try to create a new website. This is just a quick empty website.
Cool.
That's what we are going to really do. So
like a node demo, 01?
Yes. Yeah.
Justin's probably got 100 other node demo.
I actually just cleaned this up the other day,
nice.
So it's relatively relatively clean.
Awesome.
All right.
So how would we actually deploy from WebMatrix directly into Windows Azure websites? Is that complicated? I mean, what do we have to do
here? It's very easy. So we just created the site on Azure. Now you can see here over in this quick glance area, we have a link that says download the publishing profile. This file that we download will actually plug right into WebMatrix, but you also notice there are a couple of other things you can do. You can set up TFS, or if you want to use Git publishing, that's something we're going to support as well.
Fantastic.
But from inside of WebMatrix, the easiest way to do that is to download this publishing profile. Great. So we download it in my downloads folder. Now we're just going to come back into WebMatrix, click on the publish button, and we have this link over here that's going to let you import the file that we just downloaded. So here we go. You see it has all the settings, all the URLs, the username, all that stuff is just baked in. And just to make sure that this is all going to work, we can go ahead and validate that everything's working great.
Good stuff.
We look good. So now one of the other things that we actually support is, you know, obviously we're publishing this to Windows Azure, so it's expected it's just going to work. But let's say you're publishing to a Windows server, because that's something WebDeploy and WebMatrix let you do as well. Mm-hmm. We can actually go out and check your host to make sure that they support all the things that you're using inside your site.
Excellent.
Make sure they have Node installed, make sure they have NPM, all the things that you need to build to actually use this on a Windows server.
Nice. So you can check all the dependencies. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what we call as publish compatibility check. And ideally, we would do it a little bit, we would ideally do it differently per frameworks. Generally, right now, you can see we validated simple HTML page, URL rewrite, Node.js, and stuff like that, all of
awesome.
That. And obviously, Azure supports all of this, so it's going to be green. But even if you were to deploy to any other Windows hosting provider, this would just work the same way.
Fantastic.
And you can see we did all the publish preview changes, and it knows that now all these files need to be deployed. Just go ahead and hit continue. And at the bottom, you will see that the publishing begins. What is nice is that literally, we went through a lot of steps in between, but if someone wanted to go ahead and get WebMatrix to create a node site, go to Windows Azure, create a site over there, download the publish profile, and simply go ahead and hit publish on the starter site, you will actually see this exact same thing in a super compressed under 2 minute kind of experience.
Wonderful,
right?
Wonderful.
And you can see that overall means like, you know, the deployment happens pretty reasonably fast as well. Right now what we are doing is that we have all the node modules,
mm-hmm.
which we are also deploying along with the site. So it's like all contained.
Nice.
Right? And you can see that within no time that site was completely deployed. And keeping fingers crossed, hopefully this is all going to work, and
there
boom.
We go.
And there we go.
You have a site, a Node.js fully functional site on Windows Azure.
Nice. So you actually went out to Windows Azure, created a brand new website. That process took, what, 15, 20 seconds?
Yep.
And you downloaded the publish profile, found it. That's probably the hardest part is finding where you actually download it to on your hard drive.
Right.
Then you import that into WebMatrix and just hit go. And
yep.
it just publishes everything up, finds
yep.
all the dependencies.
Totally.
The whole nine.
Magic things happen and you have cloud.
It's wonderful. Yes. What's that quote about science and technology and magic? Like any new form of technology is not discernible from magic, something
yeah.
like that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I hope you feel that way. That is, but we really, really put a lot of hard work in trying to make WebMatrix really an awesome, awesome tool for Node.
It shows.
And I hope that people are excited to see this and play around with it. And yeah, we're super jazzed about it.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. I actually might might not have any problem learning Node, and I can quit bothering Nathan now. So that's that's good stuff, and you, for that matter. So that's wonderful. I mean, I don't even have any words to describe how cool that is. So you know, in a matter of minutes, we've actually created a brand new site in Node, brought in all the required modules, set up your site in Windows Azure Websites, published it, and we're off to trot already. It's wonderful. Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thanks to you guys for your time. You'll definitely want to download WebMetrics if you're a Node.js programmer and give all these new features a spin. You guys have anything else you want to throw out there?
No, really, thank you. Thank you so much for watching, and we are really, really excited about this.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
See you next
a lot.
Time.
Thank you. Thank you.